Shemini means eighth. It is the eighth day. It refers to a supernatural moment. It's when the laws of nature are suspended or altered. And so Moshe is gathering people around because God is about to move in.
Sometimes our ardent desire to be in his presence and hold fast to that, and you're in that place and you don't want to let it go. Yeah, but I'm called to do something. And if I stay here, I can't do that.
That has been the model when I've read scripture, the us versus me, we versus I concept is dropped and deposited into my understanding right from the beginning by the way things evolve so rapidly with Abram.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, and then what comes out of him. So he called a man to produce a nation. There's always more in mind.
Yeah.
With God. So, and as you've heard, he never just calls one person for just the thing he's wanting to do with just that one person.
Yeah.
It's always what he's trying to do for a people, for a family, for a nation, for a community. The one person's call is always for a purpose, and it's never just their own.
Right.
That understanding in this context, it's perfectly, for me, it was identified in just the fact that the obedience up preceding this moment, the presence of God came down in the middle of that. So each person did what they were instructed to do. Their individual obedience caused a corporate blessing to occur.
Yeah.
And in that space, literally the presence of God appeared before them, and the fire came forth.
Right? Yeah.
So it's like that up to chapter 10, verse 1, this is beautiful. This is amazing. Yeah. This is the thing we've been waiting for, right? Our God is here with us, and he has acknowledged our offering. And this is amazing. And then these two get this idea.
Well, you said something.
And mess up the vibe for everybody. Like, could you imagine you like there, everybody's great. You're grateful, you're happy. Praise the Lord, this thing has happened before the whole nation to see, and you're all singing praises in your heads, you're prostrate before God.
I mean, Hashem himself is right here in front of you.
Yeah.
And then these
two knuckleheads go, like, oh, we got this thing we're gonna do. And we're all like, oh man, come on now.
No, but see, that's the kicker of the scripture. Just think about it. Aaron is not allowed to mourn.
Yes, but the people are.
The people are. But as we read this, you have to take that in check as well, though. Hmm. Because even though the people are allowed, you don't see it. You don't see mourning here. Things do not shut down for a period of mourning. They're not sitting in Shiva for 7 days, doing the Jewish process of mourning. You have to stay happy. You have to have joy. There's a scripture in the New Testament. I need to memorize it. And it's in every version, so it's not subject to translation. But it basically is talking about when Yeshua was crucified, that the Sabbath came. And I don't remember exactly how it puts it, but basically that they had to do what they were commanded to do. You cannot mourn. They could not mourn during that time. Yeshua's death, that would have been breaking the commandments. They had to follow the rules. So in this case, during this, the inauguration of the tabernacle, singing praises, falling down before the Lord, you could not break that in this moment. So you have to take that approach when you're reading about it too. So then if we get affixed on a bad thing that happened, then right away something's going to be hidden from us. Because now the joy, another scripture says that we dip out of the waters of salvation with joy, meaning joy is the utensil to dig deep into the scriptures and pull the truths out. So when we get caught up, I've been accused of romanticizing the scripture, but that's why there's a structure for that. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to rejoice, even when you're reading scripture. When God's upset, we're upset.
Right.
When he's happy, we're happy. When Moshe is interceding for the people, we're happy.
Right.
Because we get the other side of that, and if he hadn't. But even in that, if you look at it, Moshe intercedes for the people. There's times where the Lord is speaking in a way like, I'm about to take my people out, and Moshe's interceding. And the one time that Moshe agrees with him, the Lord's mad at him for it. He expects us to intercede right. for one another, not even if someone is doing us wrong, even if someone is going against the word, even if someone is afflicting us. there's a mindset that we're supposed to keep towards them. So even in reading this, then I look at, I choose the different scenarios. Whichever one is the most positive tends to be the one that I hang on to. But then it also, because we do see Aaron still being taught and the people, the sons of Aaron still being taught from Moshe, then we're still being taught from Moshe. And so even that, not breaking that, no performance enhancing drugs when you go to worship the Lord.
Right.
And I think caffeine could be one of those. I actually was listening to a preacher one time. And the guy's like, oh my gosh, I drank too much caffeine. And he's like, well, this might be the presence of the Lord. I'm like, dude, if you don't know the difference, right. You have too much caffeine.
Absolutely.
Like that's, if you lose your sensitivity, and there's times where I've had to take medications, if I can be real honest about it, and we would head off to a worship service, I would not take them during that time because I did not want to be confused about what presence was causing me to think whatever I was thinking.
Right.
Because you can get a word from some of these other things just as easy as you can from the presence of the Lord, and it's not from the Lord. So whether they were trying to go higher and using substance to go higher, but we are given, the interesting thing about that is they drank wine, they died because of it, but there's a spiritual wine that we are to drink, and it Yeshua promised us this water leads to life. So do not be drunken in of excess, but be ye filled with the Ruach HaKodesh.
Right.
So we are given, the desire is there. And so that's why I do take, just when you look at those kinds of scriptures, there is something within mankind that when the presence of the Lord is there, when you've been touched by the presence of the Lord, it is an addiction and you want more of it. And it would be ignorance to say I can get that through another means, but nonetheless, if that's where they were at the time, because back then if you celebrated, you had wine. It was a joy. It lifted your spirits.
Right. I mean, it's interesting as you talk about that zealous desire for the presence of God to the point of forsaking the physical.
Yeah.
That's something, there's a concept and a ritual that Buddhists actually do.
Yeah.
Where they actually forsake their body.
Yeah.
It's an exercise that takes years for them to complete, and they essentially just mummify themselves.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them, if they succeed at it, then they're like glorified by the other.
So like, do they die in the process?
Or yes. Oh, okay. This is intentional. Okay. They have accomplished it. If they die.
Yeah.
I was reading about this. I'm like, wow, why would anybody do that? there's something about humanity in general, particularly those of us that are spiritually sensitive, and that are seeking.
Yeah.
Right. Those of us that have had a privilege to encounter this God, and he's blessed us with an experience of his Holy Spirit that has kind of sealed us, the experiential thing that he does inside of us in that moment that transforms our understanding for life. We approach that journey through the lens of our tradition and our understanding and our history. And we have that benefit. Others who don't might be deceived into going other routes.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
So the thing, thank you, Holy Spirit, for you know, just revealing all truth.
Yeah.
And making us to understand that there is a relationship.
Yeah.
That the Father does want us to relate, but he also wants us to be able to relate with his creation. He wants sons in the earth.
Exactly.
Manifesting his will.
Yes.
So that can happen if we're always in the heavenlies, right? Yeah.
And so, because even the thing, there's a promise to them who overcome, I give that they will be the sons of God.
Yes.
And over to them who overcome this world. And so there is a process that we're given to overcome this world, but we don't leave the world. And even Yeshua prays that over his disciples. I do not pray that you take them out of the world.
Right.
And so there's a place, but that's a part of us bringing the Lord down here. Because ultimately, if we bring the Lord down here, now we know we will afflict our own bodies in our relationship with the Lord, but it's those parts of us that we know that don't line up to what we're studying, to what we're reading, to what the Lord is showing us. So we will chastise ourselves lest we be chastised by him. But that's not the same as being spiritually suicidal.
Right.
And spiritually suicidal is when the adage is when you become so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, you know? So everything is, and I'm not going to go down this road because I've seen some crazy stuff of what the people have blamed on the Lord, but they're not effective here and now towards anyone. And one of the places I saw this, I was on a mission trip in South America, and I'm the camera guy, so I'm running camera, and I videotaped this conversation, and later I felt convicted of it, and I deleted the video. But it was a person, one of the missionaries, and they were ministering to a person who had actually never heard of the name of Jesus before, didn't know the concept. No matter where you go in the world, that doesn't really happen a whole lot. Yeah. They usually at least know the idea of it. He knew nothing. He knew nothing about that. And I listened to this lady trying to explain who Jesus was, and it was a horrible event. I mean, it was the Christianese speech, well, you'll be anointed and he'll sanctify you. And I'm looking at this guy, and he's, what does anointed and sanctified mean to someone who's not a Christian, who's never right. heard, you know, or been in, don't immersed into context. This culture? Yeah, no context right. for it. And she's going and she's going and she's going. And so finally he's like, okay. He says, so I can meet Jesus anytime. And he's still not thinking religious lines. None of that aspect made sense of. And she says, yes, you can meet Jesus anytime you want. He said, I will meet Jesus tomorrow at 4 o'clock and I'll sell you some beads today. Because it was at one of those street vendors. And so while she had all of the language, us bringing the Lord down here is that this is a part of who we are, and we're able to effectively communicate his word to other people and have that presentation that makes a difference.
At the end of the day, for me, though, when I think about that sonship, and I think about manifesting God in the earth and what he is purposing us for versus our sometimes our ardent desire to be in his presence and hold fast to that. And,
yeah.
and you're in that place and it's sweet and it's good and it's amazing and it's pure and you don't want to let it go. You know, but there's a part that says, yeah, but I'm called to do something.
Here. Yeah. Yeah.
And if I stay here, I can't do that. And he yeah. called me here to equip me for that. So I'm going to have to let this go at one point.
That's what it's saying. Being so heavenly minded that you're exactly. not of any earthly good.
Right.
And that's the thing about this. These things are here for a reason. And this Torah is a tool. We don't know what happens once this part of our existence goes away.
Right.
We don't know what our relationship with Yeshua is. We have images from the book of Revelation. We have images from the Psalms and songs of David and Solomon. We have these prophetic utterances that tell us, but we don't know the reality of all of these things till we're standing there. So all that matters right now is our purpose here. And so again, then if I go up to the mountaintop and if I never come down, I can almost guarantee you that was not your purpose. We have very few. Matter of fact, Moshe may be the only one, but even he had a purpose, and that was to deliver us out of Egypt
right.
so that we would begin worshiping the Lord.
Right. Enoch walked with God
yeah.
and was no
more. Well, that's another story right. where we really were, where it was just gone. But that's not the norm throughout. Right. And we don't, and even with Moshe, we won't know what manner of a Moshe was until what manner of a man Moshe was until we get to heaven. Because when I asked you earlier, and I don't know if it's one we were recording before, the offering that's missing is Moshe's. Hmm. Aaron has to sanctify himself. Right. Before he can sanctify the people. He has to give up his sin offering before he can make the sin offerings of the people. We never have that instruction for Moshe.
Hmm.
Not in there anywhere. So we can't even judge Moshe according to the scripture that we would judge normal ourselves by, per se. It's just an altogether different sort of a thing with Moshe. Yeah, we don't.
That relationship
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. yeah.
He saw things that we've not seen.
Yeah.
Had conversations that we didn't have.
Correct.
right. So it's like, yeah, this thing was different. All right.
yeah, it was very, very different. And we know that Mashiach is greater than Moshe, but even with Mashiach, it follows more after the order of Aaron than it does Moshe.
Right.
I mean, it's offsets it, but it follows more of that order, being in I am from the people and I represent the people to the Father. I care about what the Father cares about. I care about what the children of Israel care about. And he's that representation. So there's just some of these things that we won't know until we get to that side of it. So, but what we can do is spend our lives trying to find out what our purpose is. And even scripture talks about that we perish due to lack of vision. Without knowing what it is, I think it's one of the most depressive things a person can go through. When I started out my media career, I had a goal. and I wanted to be a national producer director. And I thought that was going to take my whole life of building a career to get there. I got there in less than 5 years. I got there in about 2 years because it was the Lord that called me to media. And it turns out I had abilities that I didn't know about. I went into depression because now I didn't know what to do with my time. I didn't know what my purpose was. My purpose before then was the Lord said, go into media. So I knew what I was supposed to do. I'm created to go into media. And then I accomplished all my goals and I'm stuck. And it really affected me. When we don't know what our purpose is, it's depressive.
You know, I've spoken with so many millennials that are powerfully frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, what is my purpose? Yeah. Why am I here? And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Where are you looking? Let's start there. Because I can't tell you what your purpose is. Yeah. I didn't give it to you. God gave you that.
Yeah.
If God deposits that in my spirit to give you, all right, great. But I'm not going, in most cases, I've not been that privileged.
Yeah.
You're going to have to look the same place I look. And that's in him.
Yeah.
So start in the manual.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a quick read. Not if you really want to find anything.
No, I was about to say.
But you start
if we're
going
to be honest with that question, you be ready to put down some time on this.
Yeah.
Trying to find out.
Exactly.
This isn't something that you do in despair. Hmm. It's not something that you just hope one day God will reveal. It's something that you have to earnestly seek, knock, and ask continually.
And you have to trust him.
And you have to trust him.
Because he promises he has a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you believe that he has a plan, when you go, you'll go joyful because you'll know the Father is going to give it to
you. Yeah.
But if you don't trust him, you're going to be stumbling and fearful and insecure. And is that it? Oh, and, you know, full of angst. And frustration.
And running all over the nation trying to find this purpose. And I'm convinced that everything you need for your purpose is already around you.
Absolutely.
Anyone that I know of for sure, that I know that God told them to do thus and so, and they knew that everything was provided for where they were at that time. Now, they may have, after that, moved on as part of that. The flip side of that is I've watched people, well, God called me over to this state. And there, matter of fact, I was, when I was working in a church, and I was a media director, there was a couple that I removed from my department and said, y'all need to sit down. You need to sit in church. You need to just sit there for a while. Because for him, God called him to this state. For her, God called her over here in the southern state doing ministry. So they were presenting me, asking for counsel. And the conversation was, God has called us apart. I'm like, no, that's not
how this
works. This is what you're wanting. But people will do that in looking for their purpose because of the desperation, though. And I don't make light of that. The desperation of wanting to know your purpose, because you're really fending off some bad things by going down that path. And I think that it is a path we all have to go down, and we have to take that time to know what is it that we are here to accomplish. What is it that he's requiring out of us? We know he wants us reading. We know he wants us studying. We know that if we're fathers, we're to be a good father. We know what nature of a man we're to conduct ourselves as, and how to raise our kids, after what nature to raise our kids. But then outside of that, so in the meantime, with whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord, as scripture says. If you're not a good steward over what is someone else's, I will not give you what is yours, is what scripture says as well.
Proverbs also says, see the man who is diligent in his business.
Yeah.
He will be before kings. He will not be before mean men. Mean in that particular text implies low consequence.
Yeah.
So the promises are there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just don't let your desire cause you to get ahead of what the Lord's doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that happens too. We see that. I know I've seen it enough.